Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
He would appear in the dark.
Hunting, literally hunting.
He was a killer.
World of Secrets, Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Hello, I'm Luke Jones. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. In BBC OS Conversations, we bring people together to share their experiences. This time, we hear from Bangladeshis, both at home and around the world, about the recent violent unrest and political change and the effect it's had on their lives. It's been an extraordinary time in the country's history. After deadly anti-government protests, the Prime Minister resigned and fled the country. Bangladeshis, both at home and abroad, join us to talk of their cautious hopes for the future.
I'm very happy that we got our second independence because there was a lot of things, right? It's not only for quota. Everything was corrupted. So right now we got our country back. We have to rebuild it.
You'll hear words like independence and freedom mentioned by our guests as they react to the events of a tumultuous few weeks, which took quite a dramatic turn in recent days. If you missed it, we heard conversations in last week's edition with Bangladeshis about the protests. They started off as peaceful demonstrations led by students about the way government jobs are awarded under a quota system you've just heard mentioned. But soon it did turn violent and the human cost has been high, with hundreds of people killed. Early this week, there was a development that very few people expected. Sheikh Hasina, the Prime Minister for 15 years and the longest-serving female Prime Minister in the world, reluctantly resigned and fled the country to India. As that news spread, protesters stormed her official residence. Her rule began as democratic, but by the end, she was widely viewed as a hated autocrat. If you spoke against her, you risked being imprisoned, or even worse. During the week, the OS team has been receiving messages from Bangladeshis as they were able to get back online. Here's a sense of some of the immediate reaction we received.
Hello, BBC, and happy Independence Day. As of right now, the entire country is celebrating. Words would fail to describe what I'm feeling right now. I had led a big procession from Mirpur DOHS all the way up to ECB. As we were moving forward, we noticed that there was absolutely no resistance, no collisions at all. Absolutely non-violent, as we had always hoped it would be. We did not clash with the police, nor with the Chhatra League. The streets belonged to us, and so did the country.
To get the victory from her, to get the freedom from her, is a big achievement for the students. I'm from University of Dhaka. I'm so happy. I don't know how to express my feeling today. Yesterday I cried a lot, even it's been 2 weeks I've been crying. It was really brutal. Nobody could speak about her, believe me. Nobody could say anything about her. If they just raised her voice regarding that, they got killed. I'm so happy. It's our happy day.
Throughout this month, I have seen a lot of deaths and a lot of blood. Even though I got shot 2 times from the law enforcement of our country, this is like victory for me. We are feeling very happy and we are feeling very refreshed because after a lot of struggle, after 20 years of dictatorship of Hasina, we got our freedom. We got our freedom of speech. We got our freedom of expression back. This day means a lot to us.
Today we wrote history. I had tears in my eyes when I went on the streets. I've been also participating since the past 1 month. I've had my left hand completely burned. I have had a few rubber bullets pass by me. Thank God I didn't get hit. We have just won the first victory because we want to rebuild a nation, because we have problems. And even after the Prime Minister resigning, her entire house was literally looted. And that's anarchy to me. That's not something that I was hoping for. But today definitely is a victory. But we have more battles to fight because we need to build a more civilized and a more educated nation. Because at the end of the day, it was the students, it was the educated people of this country who were able to get this milestone for us. We were pretty much in shock. When I went on the streets, people were actually like, did we win? So yeah, it was something out of a history book.
So the person chosen to write the next chapter in Bangladesh's history and lead an interim government is Nobel Peace Prize laureate Muhammad Yunus. Sheikh Hasina regarded him, an 84-year-old professor, as an enemy. He arrived in the country earlier this week from France and called upon the country's young people to help him rebuild Bangladesh. There is much work to do, one task being to establish law and order. Soon after Sheikh Hasina fled, the police went on strike as hundreds of police stations were attacked. And as we've been saying, it's young people, especially Generation Z, who are mostly in their teens and 20s, who have spearheaded this political change. They are Fahina, a student coordinator who helped organise the protests, who's decided to leave the capital, Payal in the city of Bandaban, and Plabani, who's from the minority Hindu community and lives in Dhaka. Bangladesh is 90% Muslim. Plabani began by telling my colleague James Reynolds about life now.
Understandably, life wasn't going to be all perfect in just one day after the fall of the previous government. It has been a quite lot to take in, considering there has been some quite worrisome and terrifying news coming from all across the country of vandalism, looting, murders, and some communal violence. So that has very quickly plagued the celebration we were all going through and kind of plunged us into this very dark place where we're actually worried if we're going to be safe tonight, because nights are now not peaceful anymore.
Plabani, tell me about your own community and why you fear you and those around you might be at risk.
Well, James, to specifically talk about the minority community of Bangladesh, that they are being kind of specifically targeted for their religious identity. Their homes, their temples are being vandalized, burned to the ashes. So the situation here is quite tense and people are kind of going through a big change on how to adapt with these things and how to move their life forward. So yeah, it has not been a great past few days here for the Hindu communities.
Moving to Payal, I mean, you've heard what perhaps might be described as the fear amid the uncertainty of the post-Sheikh Hasina time. How are things with you, Payal?
I am really confused right now because we were celebrating, but now we do not know. We haven't been able to sleep half of July. We were scared that what is going to happen to us, but now we are more scared because the dictator has gone and it is only the primary level. And we have so many challenges that are incoming and there are vandalism, looting and massacre going on. The state shall ensure the equal status and equal rights in the practice of the Hindu, Buddhist and Christian and other faiths and religion. But I'm really scared of this, that it's not going to happen. I live in Chittagong Hill Tracks and I am a Muslim here. We are safe now, but I am scared for my minor communities and indigenous people.
Our third guest is Fahima. How do you see things?
A lot of attacks and loots are happening as there is no such specific government. So it's really hard to control the mass movements or the mob control or even the safety and security things. It's really a mixed feelings because we gained the independence, but it's really hard to keep the independence and protect it. So yeah, things are really in a messy situation, but also the vandalism and the attacks cannot fade away the joy of independence because, you know, 15 years of autocracy has been a huge toll on us.
Fahima, you've moved out of Dhaka?
Yes, I have moved out of Dhaka due to safety. People who were in the leadership or who were in the front lines were always getting targeted by the national or the parties that being involved in the movement. So for that reason, I was moved out of Dhaka.
And going back to Plabani, during daylight hours, if you were to leave your front door and go for a walk, what would you see?
James, life has been quite regular and safe in Dhaka. People are going to offices. The offices are now all open, so people are going on with their businesses. Daytime is relatively safer in Dhaka compared to the other areas. But at night, there has been some news of dacoities and looting. Even last night in one of the areas of Dhaka, there was news of dacoits and the army had to go there to handle the situations.
Payal, what's it like with you when you leave the front door?
If we go outside now, nothing is going to happen in daylight, but I cannot promise you what is going to happen in nights because there are some abduction happening or loots and they're burning houses and I'm scared of these.
I have a question to the rest of my two protesters. What do you think of forming a new party with the coordinators or even the student bodies, from the student bodies?
This uprising was successful because of us, and there should be someone from the student body to represent us.
I agree with Payal as well, because this entire movement was wonderfully led by the student protesters and the coordinators. So I think having some new students or some new young faces in the leadership would not harm the country.
After the movement led by us, the students, we can see various political parties and their heads or representatives are coming to our countries, and they are celebrating as if they were the reason of this movement, and totally they're shifting the whole notion of this movement towards them. How can we handle this situation? What would be your suggestion?
I agree with you. They are celebrating as if they have done everything. But I think we should let them give the freedom of assembly.
If we don't let them do so, then there will be a question on the freedom of speech that we fought for. Understandable. From the very beginning, we were like being the coordinators. We were not even addressing ourselves as leader of this movement, as we have seen in Egypt, that there was a movement, there was a leader, and he was getting targeted. He was getting attacked, and the movement stopped. So we, as 158 people, decided to not have ourselves as a leader, rather as a coordinator. So we are still trying our best not to be politically affiliated, not to have a new party, not to create any new chaos. But the way the other parties are provoking us, including the Bangladesh Awami League, it is being really difficult for all of us to stay in our limits and stay as much as unpolitically affiliated as possible. So we are in a situation, in a hectic situation, to control all of this.
If I were to come to Bangladesh, what kind of country would you want me to see?
If you were to visit Bangladesh in the upcoming years, I would like to present to you a politically and economically stable country with inclusivity, and show you around that the wonderful cultures of Bangladesh, how wonderful the people have been throughout these movements, and how resilient they have been enduring all of this and still have a smiling face, to say that people here still have hopes, they're still optimistic about the future of the country.
As the core motto of this movement was anti-discrimination, even right now, the movement name is anti-discrimination movement. So we want a country where democracy is established. People can vote. Even students can nominate themselves for the leaders. We want a country where students have their say in the parliament, a country that is not led by the nepo politicians or the leading two parties. So in such country where the constitution, where the judiciary and the law enforcement segments are specifically led by different people, not influenced by the government, would be a blessing for us. So I want you, I'm really inviting you, and we are hoping that within 1 year, 1 to 3 years, we can have that.
Payal, Fahina and Plabani, three students in Bangladesh. And we will let you know, of course, if James takes up that offer. I'm Luke Jones, and you're listening to BBC OS Conversations from the BBC World Service.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
For our next conversation, we reached out to Bangladeshis who live abroad. Saratul in Berlin, Germany, and Zanatul in Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States, were both born in Bangladesh. And Anika in Australia has family in Bangladesh. In last week's programme, she described how she received the news that her uncle had been shot and killed on his way to prayer to mosque. You'll hear Anika first, and this is how she and others in her country celebrated on first hearing the news of Sheikh Hasina's resignation.
All the Bangladeshis in Australia were gathered in one place. Everybody was waving the Bangladesh flag. Everyone was shouting, "We are independent now." So everybody is happy. I am happy too, but sadly, I know that I'm not going to get any justice for what the police did to my uncle, but at least I can hope for a better future for our country now, now that the old parliament has been broken and a new interim government has been formed to make sure a fair election is taken place and a government that is selected, voted fairly by the people comes into power. So there is hope for us now.
In previous weeks, it was incredibly difficult for Bangladeshis outside the country to be able to get in contact with your families inside the country. Have you been able to do that since the last few days?
Yes, the internet is fully restored. Everyone has their voices opened up now. Everyone can say anything they like. That's something we have been missing as a nation for the last 17 years. Everybody lost their voices. They were just being puppets to the government. All the newspaper and the media, all the publishers, they were only allowed what the government allowed them to speak. It's like changed by a 360 degree. Like everyone's opening up, everyone's sharing their real thoughts. Everyone's sharing how terrible the previous government was, how torturous the people in power has been for the last 15 to 17 years.
Let's turn to Zanatul in the United States. Yeah. You're in the south of the country in Atlanta, Georgia. I know you were born in Bangladesh and I think your husband is still there. So how are you?
I am right now feeling better, but I was really tensed and very disappointed what was going on for the last few weeks. People were dying. That government, she was killing innocent lives for her own seat. She was a dictator, right? So she tortured our people for years and years. At the end, the student had to come up to let her know that, no, you cannot do it. We need to get rid of you. So I'm very happy that we got our second independence because there was a lot of things, right? It's not only for a quota. Everything was corrupted. So right now we got our country back. We have to rebuild it. I think this is very important that we rebuild it together. We reform it. All the government employees, there needs to be a lot of development training. So their mentality, the way that they think and the way that from our Gen Z who actually got this victory is thinking. I think the process for thinking needs to change. That will help us a lot. But it might take a little bit of time, but we have to be patient and all work together.
And Zanatul, you're in Berlin and you've been there for 6 years. How do you reflect on the last few days?
I think people are still in celebratory mode. But there's a lot of fear. You know, we don't know which way this movement is going at the moment. There are also people from the previous regime who are still in power. Like there are people in the army and in other places like the judiciary. We need to reform and we need to somehow find a way to work with these people as well, you know, because in the short term, there seems to be some manipulations going on. There's also some classic colonial era instruments being used, like the Hindu and the Muslim conflict. These things are really undermining our efforts. That's the problem.
Zanatul, have you been able to speak to your family and friends at home?
I spoke with my relatives. They're fine. In certain parts of Dhaka, things have stabilized. But in the more populated parts of the city, there's some looting going on still. Especially during nightfall, there seems to be some issues with criminals that are trying to break into people's houses.
To all of you, then, I've got a very simple question. Are you going to go home, Anika, in Australia?
Yes, like, why not? I'd go back home. I'd vote for the next election. I hope to vote. And I hope that it's actually going to be a fair election. Everyone will get to choose what party they want to rule Bangladesh. I have high hopes on this. Although the safety of population is not properly back yet, the police and the army is still trying to take control. There's been looting incidents going on. The minority families are being attacked, but we still have our hopes up.
I cannot wait to go back home because we got the victory. Now we all need to work together to reform our country. Us being living out of the country, we are still helping the students and we are still discussing how can we do better for our country, right? For the betterment. Definitely, I will go back.
I also have the same hopes to go back. But, you know, we really need serious reforms, you know, reforms from the ground level. especially because the previous regime has created a mafia-like network. You know, they have cronies everywhere. They are trying to regroup. It seems some of them have tried to escape from the country, but they have actually left behind this whole network of people, you know. Other problems such as previous governments, you know, like the BNP, the other oppositional party was in government before. They also have draft cases. They also have serious corruption-related problems. So things look a bit murky at the moment. We don't know which way the country is really going, but we're very hopeful because Professor Yunus is going back. And it seems the kids, the Generation Z, basically, who have made this revolution happen, they really want a new system. You know, they don't want the old order to come back again and this corruption again, you know. We have to root out corruption from our country totally. We have to also chase the people who have taken millions from our country. I mean, the previous regime has left behind a debt of close to $170 billion. They've also stolen a lot of money, you know. And recently, this economic downturn has left people literally hungry. You know, people can't afford basic essentials. Food prices have literally become unaffordable for most people. Here in Germany, for instance, prices of eggs were cheaper than in Bangladesh, you know?
Even though Germany has a bigger economy and higher wages.
Definitely. The per capita income is close to 60,000 euros, while Bangladesh is less than 3,000. And these figures are also in doubt because the state, to maintain itself, it has lied a lot about its achievements. That's why people keep on using the word Bua. Bua means faith. This was one of the most important chants used by the students because this government has literally lied about everything. It had lied about our reserve stocks in the Federal Reserve, per capita income. And these things have actually created pressure, you know. And the IMF, when it came in to help, found a lot of irregularities.
A very brief final question for those of you thinking of going back. What's the first thing you do, Anika?
Hug my family members, cry with them for the loss that I have faced. And there's been volunteering groups forming up to reform the country. Groups of students cleaning the suburbs around Dhaka and in some other areas. I'll probably join them. I'll also encourage my siblings to join them. So that's probably the first thing I'm going to do.
When I go back, any Gen Z that I do see I meet, I will salute them for the initiative they took to save the whole nation, right? That's really appreciable. And also, definitely, I agree with Anika that we have to volunteer. We have to do anything and everything that we can from our point of view to reform this country, right? Because there is a lot of people that still missing for Sheikh Hasina's forced disappearance. I think we all need to work together to get those people back to their family. Those people are missing for like 10 years, 12 years, 13 years. There was a massive murder in our defense forces, right, in 2009. Yeah. And we agree that it was done by the government. We need to get justice for those.
The first thing, I really need to literally kiss the land, the soil of my country. I need to hug all the young men and women, the Muslims and the Hindus and everybody, you know, who made this happen. I was in India for 9 months. I went to Delhi University on an exchange. And I realized there's a lot of discourse-related issues that we need to handle. Colonial issues, which the previous regime manipulated, you know, like Mukti Juddha versus Rajakar, Hindu versus Muslim. So we need to change the discourses.
Anika in Australia, Seratul in Germany and Zanatul in the United States on their desire to hug their families back home and help bring about change after this political revolution. I'm Luke Jones and you've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.